John chapter 10, verse 10, reads like this: "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Well, the question arises, what is life? And, you know, we talk about various things, and you hear about pro-life and all this other stuff as the political season is raging upon us right now, and all these things. But, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." Then he goes on in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God gave us life. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen? God gave us life. And I'm going to share a prayer request with you at the end of the service today. And some of you may have seen this article. It's in the Tennessean about this particular need. But God gave us life. And how well do we treat our life sometimes? Are we careless with it? You know, we sometimes, you know, do things that are going to harm our life, and we do it deliberately. Well, what is life? And what is new life? The Bible denotes, and my favorite dictionary, Brother Lou, is the Unger's Bible Dictionary. Never figured out why that was my favorite one, but anyway, in the Unger's Bible Dictionary, it says, life denotes both physical or natural life, eternal life, and absolute life. Then he goes on to write, "This form of life propagated by human generation is subject to physical death. Nevertheless, as it involves the whole man, this life is endless in every human being, saved or unsaved. Natural life has a beginning but no end. And for the saved, it involves eternal life or endless union and fellowship with God. And for the unsaved, it involves eternal existence and separation from God." In the book of James, it's written, "You don't even know if you will be alive tomorrow. For all you are is a mist that appears for a little while and then disappears." Did you ever stop to think about that? Do you remember when you're growing up and you're a kid? And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago in a different message, how long it took to get from, for example, the first grade to the second grade. Some of you can't remember back that far, but some of you do. But I remember, I'll have to tell you, for me, the first grade was an eternity. First of all, when I went to the first grade, school started about roughly 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't remember the exact time. We didn't get out till 4. It wasn't like schools today where you start in the first grade and you're only there about 3 hours or 4 hours at the most, and you go home. But we spent a whole day. We went the same length of time as the seniors did. And we were there for the full amount of time. But it seemed like an eternity. And finally it got down, and by the time I got to my senior year in high school, it seemed like that year went by fairly decent clip. And now it seems like a year is just a blur, because we begin to realize how short this life that we know here on planet Earth, this life that we are living right now, really is. You stop and you look back, and some of you, you know, are younger, and some of us that are over 29, I said over 29. Yeah. Some of us, we look back and we think, but could that have really been that long ago? And next month, my wife and I will be celebrating our 45th wedding anniversary, and I just still haven't figured out how that 45 years has happened, because I'm only 39 anyway. But, you know, it's gone by. And I look back on those things. Life is but a vapor. It's what the Scripture tells us. It's but a mist. And it disappears after a season. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary describes life this way. It says, the quality that distinguishes a vital and functional being from a dead body. Okay, that's very understandable. That's a principle or force that is considered to underlie the distinctive quality of animate beings. It's the sequence of physical and mental experience that make up the existence of an individual. One or more aspects of the process of living, spiritual existence transcending physical death, the period from birth to death, the specific phase of earthly existence. And that's what a lot of people don't really seem to understand about life, is life goes beyond what this physical body experiences. What life we have in this physical body, the Bible tells us, and we all are aware, that at some point it's going to end up 6 foot under somewhere. And I'm not really quite sure where they got this 6 foot under. So every funeral I've went to in the last 5-10 years, I mean, they didn't put that body 6 foot under. I know that. But we talk, we think about it, and we think, well, this is life. And our life comes to an end. But our life does not come to an end. What we don't stop to think is about our eternal part of our being, our soul, our spirit goes on, and it exists forever and ever. It's never going to end. But when most people speak about life, though, they think just about the period between birth and death. And a lot of people, they can't handle the things that are going on in their life. Maybe they've gotten into some type of an addiction that's caused them problems. And they get to a point in their life that they say, I just can't handle this anymore. I'm going to end it all. So they take their life thinking they're ending it all. But their life goes on. Only that physical body ceases to be. Life goes on. And no matter what our age, we can look back at our life and we have either good thoughts or bad thoughts. Anybody have any bad thoughts in their life? Yeah, we all probably have some. We look back and we think, boy, I sure wish I'd have done that different. Because we make mistakes. We can look back and say, and we can dwell on these things and we can let them ruin our life as well. Or we can look back and we can think on the good things and the good, you know, one of the things that in our family we try to do is we try to establish ever so often within the year a time where we can establish some good and positive memories. And we typically as a family do it around Christmas time and we all get together and we try to build those positive memories. And we can sit back and talk about, well, do you remember Christmas a couple of years ago when we did this or we did that? And we have those memories that we've established. Well, our life can be what we make of it. And some Bible characters that folks are more familiar with than others, and some listening on the internet may not even know who some of these characters are, but I want to share with you what one prominent lady of the Old Testament had to say about life. And I'm going to read it from the Complete Jewish Bible because it really kind of spells out what she was thinking here. And Genesis chapter 27, verse 46, Rivka said to Yitzchak, I'm sick to death of Hittite women. If Yaakov marries one of those Hittite women, like those who live here, my life isn't worth living. Now that was putting it pretty blunt. I'm sick of those people. Did you ever say that? Did you ever think that about some people? I know there are times that there are situations go on where I'm just sick of this whole situation, this whole mess. I wish they'd get it over with. I wish they'd get it done. And she says, I'm sick of these people. You can't let my son marry one of these women because my life will be worth nothing. I might as well go off and sit in the corner somewhere and cry or whatever, but my life is going to be worthless. And sometimes we may swear on the life of someone else, our own life, or maybe the life of a loved one. And maybe you read and see in stories, somebody says, well, I swear on the life of my mother or the life of my father or the life of my children or whatever, you know, that this is going to happen, you know. Well, Joseph, as he's talking to his brothers down in Egypt, in Genesis chapter 42, verse 15, says, here's how you can prove you're not lying. As Pharaoh lives, you will not leave here unless your youngest brother comes here. He's basically swearing upon the life of Pharaoh. As Pharaoh lives, this is the way it's going to be. You either bring your brother back here or you're not going anywhere. Have you ever watched as some folks try to live their life through their children or their grandchildren? You know anybody like that? A couple of heads shaking, yeah. Anybody ever watch quote-unquote reality television? It's all scripted, but it's reality TV. Yeah. Let's face it, some of those things would not have happened if they hadn't been scripted. But there's one that we catch occasionally as we're changing channels, and sometimes we watch a little bit of it. It's called Dance Moms or something like that. Anybody ever seen that program? Oh, I tell you, quite frankly, I feel like picking up the phone sometime and calling Children's Services in that particular state and saying, I want to report child abuse, you know, because it appears to me that's almost child abuse what they're doing to those kids. But the parents, I want my daughter to go out here and I want her to be this star dancer that's going, and the mom's sitting back there and she's living her life vicariously through her daughter. And we see that happen. Moms that enter their kids in beauty pageants. Ah, she wanted to be the queen. She couldn't do it, so her daughter's going to be the beauty queen. And things like that. We live our life sometimes through our kids. And I know that we all want the best for our children. We want them to have good things. We want them to have better than what we had. Genesis chapter 44, verses 30 through 31, Joseph and his brothers regarding Benjamin says, so now if I go to your servant, my father, and the boy isn't with us, seeing how his heart is bound up with the boy's heart, when he sees that the boy isn't with us, he will die, and your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Shiloh with grief. In other words, they're saying, our father is so wrapped up in Benjamin. He's going to die if we bring Benjamin back here. It'll kill the old man. We can't do this because he's wrapped up. He was living his life through Benjamin. Now, we can have negative thoughts about life. Ecclesiastes reads in chapter 6, verse 12, for who knows what is good for someone during life, during the days of his pointless life. But we talk about a negative thought. During the days of his pointless life, spent like a shadow, who can tell what will happen under the sun after a person is gone? Anybody here remember a program on TV? It aired for years. It was produced, I think, here in Nashville, called Hee Haw. Yeehaw. Oh, yeah. And there was a song on there that they sang, Ever Show. Was very short. Gloom, despair, and misery on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and misery on me. And some of us want to go through life living that way. Oh, it's gloom, it's gloom, it's gloom. Sun can be shining outside. And they look out and say, oh, is the sun ever going to shine again? Because they have let the bad things, a bad thing maybe in some cases, overshadow them so much that they can't see the good things in life. All they can see is the negative things. You ever talk to somebody and you start the conversation off with positive and they ended up for you with negative? You say, what a great this is, and they say, yeah, but, and by the time you're finished, you're, why did I ever call them to start with? You know, why'd I ever talk to them? Because they have such a negative outlook on life. We can have choices in our life. Jeremiah says in chapter 21, verse 8, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He set before us the way of life and the way of death, and we can make choices in our life as to how we live our life. And some of us make bad choices sometimes. But you know what? There's a cure for bad choices. You ever think about that? Sometimes we have to pay a penalty for the bad choices we make. But where is real life found? Paul writes in his letter to Titus, from Saul, God's slave and emissary of Yeshua the Messiah, sent to promote among God's chosen people the trust and knowledge of truth which leads to godliness and which are based on the certain hope of eternal life, God, who does not lie, promised that life before the beginning of time. God promised us eternal life. God has made good on His promise. There is eternal life out there. The choice comes to you as you can decide where you want to spend your eternal life. A lot of people don't stop to look at it that way. They think, well, once I die, some people think, well, once I die, if I'm not a Christian, it's okay. I just blot out of existence anyway. My life blinks out. It's like somebody pulled the plug and it's all over and done with. But the Bible says our life continues on. And we have the choice of where we will spend our eternal life. Jesus gave us that choice. And He made a way for us. He's telling us, as He writes here, that God promised life before, as the King James Version reads, the beginning of time. Before time ever existed, God promised us life. He goes on to tell us our life is in Messiah. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 4, He says, focus your minds on the things above, not on things here on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is our life, appears, then you too will appear with Him in glory. We're going to be with Him if we have chosen to spend our life with Him, if we have chosen to give our life to Him, if we've chosen to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we will spend our eternal life with Him. The Apostle John writes of Peter's conversation with Jesus. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 69, it says, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Jesus, we've been walking with You all this time. Where are we going to go? Because He goes on to say, thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. He's confessing here, You are the Son of God. You are the one who gives us life. You are the one who speaks those words of eternal life. John continues to write the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I, speaking of Jesus, have come so that they may have life, and life in its fullest measure. When you got saved, did it make a difference in your life? And I know for some people, it made a bigger difference than for others. If you were living out in the world and partaking of the various sins of the world, vices of the world, and so on, it made a big difference in your life. Because you changed. It was a noticeable change to a lot of people. Some, like myself, who grew up in church and didn't know anything but church, noticeably, my life didn't change a whole lot. I still went to church, same thing I'd been doing. Still went to Sunday school, still did this, still did that, same way I'd been doing it before. But yet inside, I knew there was a change. I knew that there was new life in my heart. I knew there was new life in my existence and in my being when Jesus came into my heart. He's given us life. Is there more than one way to life? Well, the world would have us believe that. Just listen to some of the gurus that are on television or the internet today. And they're giving you all this hope of all these things. And there's no need to follow that Jesus person, because we're all going to heaven anyway. Ever hear that? One very well-known TV host has declared that we're all going to heaven. You don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven. In fact, I have to tell you here, be quite honest, you got to be more than a Christian to go to heaven. That's blasphemy. I know some are thinking that. You got to be. No, because there's a lot of folks out there today that say they're a Christian. Mm-hmm. You know? And they're about as much a Christian as I am saying that I'm a Dr. Pepper because I drink Dr. Pepper. Because you're only going to heaven if you have Jesus in your heart.
Amen.
If you've accepted the atoning work that He did for you on the cross of Calvary, if you've asked Him into your life and you've let Him change your life and give you new life, unless you've done those things, I'm sorry. But the Word of God tells me you're not going to heaven. You can call yourself Christian till you're blue in the face. But Jesus goes on to tell us, or we're told in there's going to come a day, some are going to stand before God, and they say, well, I did these things. And He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because they proclaimed to be something they were not. I was reading an article just a couple of days ago, and it said in certain countries, for example, some of the Middle Eastern countries, if you were not born into a Muslim family, or you're not an active Muslim, then you are automatically considered to be a Christian in their eyes. But that's only in their eyes. You're really, truly, only Christ-like. That's what the word Christian means, to be Christ-like. You're only a Christian if you've got Jesus Christ dwelling in your heart and in your life and letting Him help you live your life. Because if we try to live our life on our own, most likely we're going to make some kind of a mess out of it. But He's come to give us life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. If you want life, I am the way to life. I am the only way to life. You want new life today? You want to have a better life? You want to have an eternal life with Jesus Christ? You want to have an eternal life in heaven, an eternal life with God? Then you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and invite Him into your heart. And if there's any that's listening to me on the internet today or various other means as this message goes out, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never made that commitment and said, Jesus, come into my life, change my life, save me, forgive me of my sin. If you've never done that, then I'm sorry, you still need new life. Today is the day the Bible tells us of salvation. Today is the day to give your life to Jesus Christ and let Him take over and give you that new life, that eternal life with Him. And Father, today, as we bring this message to a close, Father, I just pray, Father, that You would speak to hearts wherever this message goes forth. And Father, touch lives today. And Father, I just ask, as we read in the book of Psalms, chapter 63, verses 3 through 4, where it says, "Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands unto Thy name." And Father, I just ask today, as we give praise, and Father, we give thanks for what You've done for us, and Father, for the new life that You have given us, Father, help us to wake up with that attitude of praise and worship. And Father, we thank You for all these things now, for we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.